ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। So today we are reading from 7th canto, chapter 14, text 14. Siddher yagya sistarthe Siddher yagya vasistarthe Kalpaye drutim atmana Kalpaye drutim atmana Sese svastam tajjan pragya Padavim mahatamiya Siddhe yagya vasistarthe Kalpaye drutim atmana Sese svastam tajjan pragya Padvin Mahatamiya Siddhe Yagya Vasishtarthe Kalpaye Drutim Atmana Sese Svasvatam Tajjan Pragya Padvin Mahatamiya Bolo Siddhe Things obtained by the grace of the Lord. Yagya avistha arthe. Things obtained after the sacrifice is offered to the Lord or after the recommended. Panchasuna yagya is performed. Kalpayet, one should consider Rutim, the means of livelihood. Atmana, for the self. Sese, at the end. Svatvam, so-called proprietorship of one's wife, children and home. Business and so on. Tyajan, giving up. Pragya, those who are wise. Padvim, the position. Mahatam, of the great personalities who are fully satisfied in spiritual consciousness. Iyat, should achieve. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada ki. An intelligent person should be satisfied with eating prasad, food offered to the Lord, or with performing the five different kinds of yagya, panchasuna. By such activities, one can give up attachment for the body and so-called proprietorship with reference to the body. When one is able to do this, he is firmly fixed in the position of a Mahatma. Bob, nature already has an arrangement to feed us. By the order of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, there is an arrangement for eatables for every living entity within the 8,400,000 forms of life. Eko bahunam yo vidadati kaman. Every living entity has to eat something, and in fact the necessities of for his life have already been provided for by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Lord has provided food for both elephant and the ant. All living beings are living at the cost of the Supreme Lord, and therefore one who is intelligent should not work very hard for material comforts. Rather, one should save his energy for the advancing in Krishna consciousness. All created things in the sky, in the air, on the land, and in the sea belong to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And every living being is provided with food. Therefore, one should not be very much anxious about economic development and unnecessarily waste time and energy with the risk of falling down in the cycle of birth and death. Namam Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Iti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Praschata Desatarine Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sivasadi Gaur Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare Everyone can repeat. An intelligent person should be satisfied with eating prasadam. With what? Yeah, you all like prasadam, eh? Or with performing the five different kinds of yajna, panchasuna. By such activities, one can give up attachment for the body and so-called proprietorship with reference to the body. When one is able to do this, he is firmly fixed in the position of a Mahatma. So, this is a conversation on ideal family life. So we have an ideal family here of Srila Prabhupada, right? We have brothers and sisters throughout the planet, and then also beyond the planet. Because at one stage Prabhupada says that when you perfect your Krishna consciousness, then when you come to Golok Dham, I have ISKCON for you there also. Since I have ISKCON for you there, so there's a lot of service to be done. But there you won't have to sleep and you won't have to suffer. There is only Sachit Ananda, eternal bliss, eternal happiness, you know. So here, Narad Muni is giving the options to Yudhishthir Maharaj that either we can offer foodstuffs to Krishna, and if eat the foodstuffs offered to Krishna, then that is good enough. Then we don't have to perform any other real yagyas, you know, like the Pancha Sunayagya or Pancha Mahayagya or this understanding of the Pancha Sunayagya, there is various because the impersonalists, they have a different understanding. They can only go up to Brahma Jyoti, so they cannot go beyond the Brahma Jyoti, so they cannot understand Paramatma, they cannot understand Bhagwan, you know. So they will think of the Pancha Yagyas performing different sacrifices to different demigods in particular and offering sacrifices to Pitrus, you know, like that. But here, at the beginning of this chapter, Srila Prabhupada is giving an introduction and he says, these five different kind of yagyas are very simple for devotees. Because as Vaishnavas, we don't have to endeavor to go out of our way to satisfy demigods and other personalities. If you can satisfy Krishna or Radha Shyam Sundar, then you're okay. No? But he says, however, this, you know, whatever money a grihastha accumulates by the grace of God, he should spend in five activities. And these are the five yagyas for devotees. You know, firstly, namely, worshipping the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You know, so we're very fortunate. Every day worship is going on. We come for deity greetings. We are here performing Guru Puja. We are here listening to Bhagavatam. So this is a form of worshipping the Supreme Lord. Srila Prabhupada has been so kind that he established this for us in such a natural way that you don't have to go making special arrangements for different kind of yagyas and find so much gold and so much silver, and like the Mayavadis do, they have to accumulate so much of these other material elements so they can perform a yajna. But here the yajna is very simple, very direct, very caring, very loving, and very blissful, right? Very blissful. Then says receiving Vaishnavas and saintly persons. So receiving Vaishnavas and saintly persons were in the Grihastha ashrams. You know? And here Prabhupada created a big ashram so that everyone is received. Every day there's so many hundreds of people. How many people are eating prasadam here every day? 700 to 800. You know? So that is very nice. Just see the power of a great saintly personality. This is just one temple. If you take 800 and some 80 temples and you multiply it by even 10, you know, easy mathematical calculation gives you an indication in how Prabhupada established this system. And then if you go in any part of the world, any country, the Grihasthas are always inviting other Grihasthas, Vaishnavas, Gurus, Brahmacharis on different occasions. So this is wonderfully going on in our society. So this is another form of yajna. And distributing prasadam to general public and to all living entities. So we have food for life going on. You know, just a simple example, like in Delhi alone, we are distributing 50,000 plates just to children, what to speak of. The prasadam distribution that goes on in the temple, and otherwise, worldwide again, if you see 800 temples, even if they are doing distribution of prasadam once a week, that's magnanimous. Not only to others, here Prabhupada said to all the living entities. No? The other day Janardhan Maharaj gave class and he was mentioning in his sloka was particularly how we should be taking care of other living entities. And it includes like bees, monkeys, donkeys, and all kinds of animals are being mentioned and living entities are being mentioned. And how does the scriptures explain this, and how simply Prabhupada explains that to us? That just like we take care of our children, we should also be nurturing the other living entities. Why do we take care of our babies? You know? Because they are so little and they need to be taken care of. Likewise, the animals are also helpless. Because they are helpless, they have to be taken care of. However, that doesn't mean just we do their service, but we should also keep in mind the law of karma, that the animals are in animal body because of certain karmas. And mind you, no babies are born innocent. Sometimes we think babies are born innocent, but every child that is born with many previous lifetimes of cumulative karmas. So according to the karma the child is born with, that child will come into either a devotee family or a demoniac family. When the child comes in a devotee family, he is the Harinam Sankirtan right from the beginning, gets the opportunity to get served by Vaishnavas, carried by Vaishnavas, and as they grow older, they learn how to serve Vaishnavas, how to become good devotees. You know? And sometimes you see some of the young devotees coming up after graduating in Gurukul here or in Mayapur or other parts of the world, they become first class preachers. You see so many young brahmacharis nowadays buzzing. So many of them even go to IIT and come out and come back. No? And then they are preaching so nicely. So that is their good karma. Prabhupada says 0 to 5, take care of the children. Don't be hard on them. 5 to 12, strict discipline. 12 to 16, develop friendship. And then from 16 onwards, just be a good friend. Because at the age of 16, many lifetimes of cumulative karma takes over the destiny of that child or that grown-up child. And then that person will go in a particular direction. At that time, sometimes Prabhupada says that if a child deviates a little, parents should not get upset or disturbed, but they should continue nurturing them so that at a certain stage when they go through a short cycle, they will come back to Krishna consciousness and continue preaching. You know? Because any action performed in spiritual life does never go in vain. You know? It never goes in vain. On the contrary, If a child is born in a demoniac family or child is sometimes born on streets, you see many parts of the world, Africa, India, villages, so many unwanted children are on the road. Sometimes they are begging, sometimes they are sleeping on the street. That means some bad karmas from many lifetimes previously. However, as devotees, we are neutral. We will go out of our way to preach to anyone and everyone. And one of the nicest things we can do is distribute prasadam on the streets, in the jogi areas, in the villages, wherever there is opportunity. And that doesn't mean that prasadam distribution has only got to be for the poor community. Prasadam distribution also has to be at the highest level, prime minister level, minister levels, all the other mats, all the big santas. Because Krishna prasadam is something that purifies everyone and everyone needs it. And in this particular sloka it says, if you take food offered to Krishna, then everything is nullified. Such a powerful statement, you know. And why we should take food offered to Krishna? If we don't offer the bhoga to Krishna, it becomes bhoga, it becomes karma. Now we may not see, there is so many bacteria. Even we say we are vegetarians, right? Are we all vegetarians? Oh my God, everyone is now beginning to think. All those bacteria. Knowingly or unknowingly, Prabhupada explains. There is very nice verse here that I will read later on. That Prabhupada explains that the reason why you have to perform this yajna, or the five kinds of yajna, if you are not chanting honestly, sincerely, not surrendered fully, then you can do both simultaneously. The reason you do is that unknowingly you are stepping on so many ants, so many bugs on the grounds, and you are killing them. There is karma involved. Whether we like it or not, it is part of karma. So knowingly or unknowingly, you may kill many bacteria when you are cooking vegetations, when you are picking up vegetations, when you are walking. So many different forms of karmas that you are incurring all the time. Even if you don't like it, even if you don't want to kill an ant, unknowingly you are killing many ants. No. Therefore, offering is essential. When we offer the bhoga to Krishna, then all those karmas that we incurred, either from deplanting, cutting vegetables, cooking, and then finally offering, anything that is incurred during that process or the chain or steps, that is nullified by eating prasadam. That is why it's very essential to eat prasadam and not bhoga. So, be proud that you are eating prasadam and not that you are simply a vegetarian. We can say we are vegetarians to general public, but then take the opportunity to preach to the people you are meeting and tell them what vegetarianism means in Vaishnavism. Many times when I'm traveling, I'm flying, and people ask me, so, you know, you're only, if I'm traveling on flights, I don't take anything else except for fruits or nuts. So, they will come and ask you, oh, we have vegetarian meals, and I say, no, I'm fine. And sometimes people are sitting there, oh, you don't eat any vegetables only, also, you don't eat any meat, what do you eat? Right? Because there's so much in ignorance, they have no idea, they have no understanding of the importance of eating offering bhoga and eating prasadam. No? Because they are involved in ugra karma. Prabhupada explains that ugra karma is activity that involves individuals who are not inclined towards devotional life. They are very much involved in trying to do activities to find new things and to become more powerful. And then in doing so, sometimes at higher level, they create so much damage. They create so much disturbance. Just like the oil rigs in the North Sea, many years back, they were trying to find the oil. And then there was a mishap. And there's tons and tons of oil that flooded the sea and the shores of the islands around there. And there was millions of living species in the sea that were killed. And there was so much damage that was coming onto the land. And then some other countries wanted to actually sue the country that was drilling the rigs. You know. Or many years back, Ugrakarma example, Bhopal, you know, when there was mishap, you remember that many years back, there was a mishap, and there was this some kind of a nuclear plant, and there's an automatic switch that triggered off. And that triggered off, and all these dangerous chemicals came out. And although they said maybe only 10,000 people died, but in general everyone knows lakhs and lakhs of people were, you know, in big problems just from the chemicals. So much damage was done, so many humans were being hurt. So Ugra Karma is a very dangerous thing. We may take it lightly, oh yeah, it's good to have cell phones, it's good to have microphones, it's good to have cameras. Yes, they're good to have, you are utilizing them in Krishna consciousness. But if you are not utilizing them in Krishna consciousness, then these Ugra Karma activities are going to lead to so many disasters. Look at the 9/11 which happened recently in New York, when the two towers collapsed. No? So many people died, there was so much warfare, and then America is going out attacking so many other countries and throwing so many bombs, and then so many innocent people also dying. So if we are not Krishna conscious, or those who are unfortunate and they are not Krishna conscious, then they are consistently engaged. And they can never be happy, no matter what they are finding us. They can never be happy because the greed has no end. Greed has no end, and therefore they are consistently persisting to try and do something new, to try and become so much more powerful, to become so much more influential, you know. On the contrary, we can see from Krishna's pastimes and Krishna's devotees that whatever devotees do, like Srila Prabhupada did, he established such wonderful temples for us. And even in Krishna's pastimes, when you see, you go to Govardhan, you do parikrama and you see so many different sports, so many nice places, and you stop and you meditate on the pastimes of Krishna, you know. Like every time you go to Govardhan, you obviously think, yeah, Krishna lifted this hill and then Indra was pumping so much rain in all different forms, thunderstorms, you know, ice cubes, ice thunderbolts. But Krishna is there. When he makes certain things like that happen, he has a reason. He wants the devotees to rise to a higher platform. The Brajbasis were simply offering foodstuffs to Indra, but they were Brajbasis. They're representatives of Krishna. They didn't need to do that. Therefore, Krishna performed these pastimes so that the Brajbasis could actually bring realization to Indra, that actually it's Indra who should be coming and worshipping the Brajbasis. No? Not that Brajbasis should be worshipping Indra. And then in that pastime, all this rain and water is coming, and so much is coming, and Krishna is thinking it's going to flood the Braj. So he tells Balaram, you take care of the water. Balaram, by his mystical power, he receives all the water in his hands like this. Imagine, so much water is coming, but nothing is going on the land. Everything is going in Balaram's hand. And then Balaram says, Tathastu here, and that becomes Sankarsan Kun. Because another name for Lord Balaram is Sankarsan. So, devotees' pastimes are always, sometimes there are many challenges will come. Like Prabhupada said, many challenges will come. You know, when we were trying to build Bombay Temple, Prabhupada said, he's written this thing down in his one of diaries, that they are stopping me from building temple in Bombay because they're saying there will be bhajan nuisance. Prabhupada writes the word bhajan nuisance. He just say how unfortunate these people are, how demoniac they are. They're involved in so much Ugra Karma activities. They cannot understand the power of bhajan. Of course, ultimately, you know, we have a beautiful temple now and so many wonderful activities going on. But that's an example. Prabhupada writes in the same book that they refused him entry into Africa initially. Why? What was the excuse? That he is a saint and he's propagating Krishna's name. So we cannot let him come into our country. No? So these are the demoniac countries. No? They are unfortunate. They are sitting in a place where they don't understand the power of bhajan. They don't understand the power of chanting of the holy name. Therefore, they end up offending Vaishnavas. Great Vaishnavas like Srila Prabhupada. But Prabhupada was so merciful. He wasn't saying, okay, I will curse this country. Or I will curse these people. Prabhupada told the devotees, continue chanting, continue preaching, and the ether in the air will get so purified that these demons will also bow down. The air and the ether in the air will get what? Purified by the chanting of the holy name. So wherever we are, we must chant the holy name, because by chanting the holy name, it makes a big difference. So, before I run out of time, I wanted to read out this. So this is from Bhagavad Gita, and text 313, Prabhupada already quotes that the devotees of the Lord are released from all kinds of sins because they eat food which is offered first for sacrifice. Others who prepare food for personal sense enjoyment verily eat only sin. And in the next text he says, all living bodies subsist on food grains which are produced from rains. Rains are produced by performance of yajna, and yajna is born of prescribed duties. And here in the purport, Srila Prabhupada is quoting a very nice word by Srila Baladeva Vidyabhushan, and the translation goes like this: the Supreme Lord, who is known as the Yajna Purusha, or the personal beneficiary of all sacrifice, is the master of all demigods, who serve him as the different limbs of the body serve the whole. Demigods like Indra, Chandra and Varuna are appointed officers who manage material affairs, and the Vedas direct sacrifices to satisfy these demigods so that they may be pleased to supply air, light and water sufficiently to produce the food grains. When Lord Krishna is worshipped, the demigods who are different limbs of the Lord are also automatically worshipped. So Baladeva Vidyabhushan is telling us, by worshipping in Krishna directly, there is no need to worship the demigods. So those, how many demigods are you going to worship? Every time you want rain, then you go a special yagya for Indra. Every time you want wealth, you go to some Mahadevi. Or every time you want to cure yourself, you go to some other. Or you want to play, become a good musician, then you go worship Saraswati. No, just worship Krishna. Everyone will be so pleased with you that they will shower their blessings upon you. So whatever your desires are to do to serve Krishna, they will give you the blessings. And it's so simple. It's not so difficult to please Krishna, right? For this reason, the devotees of the Lord who are in Krishna consciousness offer food to Krishna and they eat, a process which nourishes the body spiritually. By such action, not only are past sinful reactions in the body vanquished, but the body becomes immunized to all contamination of material nature. Like the way Prabhupada uses the word immunize. When there is an epidemic disease, an antiseptic vaccine protects a person from the attack of an epidemic. Similarly, food offered to Lord Vishnu and then taken by us makes us sufficiently resistant to material affection, and one who is accustomed to this practice is called a devotee of the Lord. See how Prabhupada is using this word, material affection. By being engaged in devotional service, it helps us to detach. Earlier on in this ideal family life, some of the verses we heard from Narad Muni, where he's explaining that we have to learn to detach from the families, members. Very, very important. One must learn to detach from children, uncles, aunties, mother, father, wife, husband. And he puts it very crudely, that if you don't learn to detach at the end of the day, this body is going to turn into worms and stools anyway. So it is better you realize that this body is so useless. So why are you having this attachment to this body? Instead, if you have the attachment to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, His Sachid Ananda Vigraha, Anadi Radhir Govinda, He is one who is supplying everything to you, and you can get maximum bliss from Him, you can get maximum happiness from Him. So why are you hankering in these temporary attachments? You know, He is saying actually that one who can give up attachment, especially to the spouse, husband or wife, for that person it's very easy to conquer Krishna. By conquering your senses, by conquering and detaching your attachment to your family members, especially to your wife and children or to husband and children, Narad Muni is saying, you already conquered Krishna. Such a powerful thing. So this detachment process we have to learn. And the best way, to do that is by doing devotional service. Do devotional service with your children here in the temple or wherever you are. Go out preaching 24/7. There is no reason, any time, any moment, you cannot be involved in devotional activities. Even before two people get married, they should be involved in devotional activities very seriously. After getting married, devotional activities should intensify. If you have children, they should only be here for Krishna consciousness. That should also be intensified. Prabhupada says, restrict your sex life. Get married only and have sex only if you want to bring children in the service of Krishna. Otherwise, it's a sinful activity. Prabhupada is very direct. Scriptures are very direct. And it's up to us if we are sincerely well-wishers of ourselves. Get off the bodily platform. Stop thinking that I am this body. Rather understand that the soul is a proprietor of this body. Soul is eternal, part and parcel of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And that there is a mission that you are here for. And that mission is to become completely detached, completely freed from all our sinful activities, and then prepare and plan to go back to Godhead. And Lord Chaitanya was so merciful that he came here and he very nicely preached and he did everything by example. So the Lord, you know, he comes himself, Krishna comes himself to teach us by example. He's going out and chanting, he's going out and preaching, he's doing all the spiritual activities that Srila Prabhupada gave us. Why does the Lord have to come down? He doesn't have to come down, but it's like a father who is attached to the children, he cares for the children. And the father never wants the child to get burnt. The father doesn't really want the child to get involved in any form of ugra karma activities, because a proper or advanced or a spiritualized father, he understands that ugra karma activities only means more births. Cycle of reincarnation is not going to let you get away just like this. The more sinful activities we perform, the more suffering we are going to have to go through. The more Sankirtan Yajna that we perform, the higher the chances are there for us that we'll get the full mercy of Lord Chaitanya. And this is the most important thing. The primary thing is to understand Lord Chaitanya's mission. He came specially for us. We are all his children. He came specially for us so that we can take to the spiritual life seriously, free ourselves from the cycle of birth, death, old age and disease, and go back to Godhead where we belong. Remember, Prabhupada is waiting there. There is this ISKCON for us. Hare Krishna. Any questions or comments or experiences? Yes, sir.
Can you pass this?
Speak in the mic, please.
Yeah, some people come to Krishna consciousness, they're really engaged in emotional service for at least more than 1 year, and the person they're looking at marrying, or they're like digging at everything, is they're not very Krishna consciousness, or they're very materialist, almost like demon like, but the person's very attached to them. I'm just wondering for people who are very like engaged in
So generally the process is that when human beings come onto the planet, we have all come here because we perform some sinful activities. That's what Srila Prabhupada says, that we are all here because of sinful past karmas. So normally beginning is karma, and we are performing karmic activities. Then becomes yajna, as we understand that there is a process to come out of the sufferings that we are going through. That is a process of yajna. And then by performing different yajnas, we come to a level whereby we begin to understand spiritual life and importance of spiritual life. And that's when the real yajna comes into action. So in this process we are all going through, we have so many karmas, we don't know how many layers of, you know, sinful activities are covering us, and therefore we say cheto darpan marjanam, you know, chanting of the holy name cleanses our heart. In other words, it's removing. What is the meaning of cleansing the heart? Means it's not like you take a duster and clean the board, but as we chant, our karmas are being nullified. As you eat prasadam, our karmas are being nullified. You know, as you preach, our karma is being nullified. But we have no idea how many doses of depths we have. You know, so one person may win a lottery and may get $300 million. But if he has an industry and is already in debt by $300 trillion, so it may appear I've got $300 million, but still very little to take care of my debt. The world might see that, wow, this guy is so fortunate, he got so many millions. But those millions are not going to take care of my debts. Therefore, what happens similarly, we have so many doses of layers of karmas that we're taking care of. And as we make advancement, then we are able to surrender more. There is very rare, sa mahatma sudurlabha, Krishna is saying, very rare a soul is able to make spontaneous, you know, high jump or long jump and overcome all this. Because we got so many anarthas, you know. There's so many anarthas within us that we have come with. So we are getting rid of them step by step. So we have to be patient, but we have to be intent. And our understanding has to be crystal clear. As long as we understand that this process works, and we know it works because Prabhupada showed it works. So it's not like we're telling something that 5,000 years ago this was a process and it works, so just do it. Prabhupada came personally and showed it. Although Lord Chaitanya came only 500 years ago, sometimes people argue, but 500 years ago I wasn't there, you know. But this is a living example. We have evidence. Videos are there. Prabhupada is speaking. Prabhupada is talking. He is talking with so much confidence. The proof of the pudding, like George Harrison says in the Krishna book, is in the eating. Right? So, the proof is there. As we are preaching, we see how fast, you know, so many souls are surrendering. There was 2000 Bhagavad Gitas before Prabhupada introduced Bhagavad Gita as it is. Right? How many people actually became devotees just by reading all those Bhagavad Gitas? Right? But here is, it's the proof. Prabhupada gave it to us as it is, not as he thought it was, or not that he wrote his own philosophical, you know, speculations in it. He gave it to us as it is. And one time Prabhupada is also crying when he is reading Lord Chaitanya, teachings of Lord Chaitanya. And he is talking to Jayananda, because Jayananda had just joined. Jayananda, this was in early days. Jayananda Prabhu was one of the early day, you know, devotees in San Francisco, and he was the only person who was working outside, so he was giving all his donations to Prabhupada. Everything that he earned, he gave it to Prabhupada. And then he had saving of just $5,000, but $5,000 45 years ago was a lot of money. So Prabhupada was thinking he wanted to print this book, and then Jayananda said, oh, I'll go and get whatever he had in the bank, he gave it to Prabhupada. Prabhupada printed the book. And Prabhupada was reading that book after it was printed, and tears started rolling out of his eyes. And he said, I didn't know that I could write so nicely. And this is not coming from me. No? He's indicating directly Krishna is narrating and he is simply a writer. No? So there are many wonderful examples of Prabhupada. The more you remember Prabhupada and more you hear about his pastimes or you read about his pastimes, the more it will help you to understand that it's a gradual process and stay on the path. Krishna will come and take you back home, back to Godhead. Prabhupada promises, I will come and take you back home, back to Godhead. Does it answer your question? Thank you. Thanks.
Hare Krishna. I just want to understand how many Acharya people have killed or died in sin when they are all from different places in Vrindavan?
How? Sin?
How? When this wind also happened. This is not related to the last, but I just want to understand this question from you.
The twin tower? Because you're echoing, put the microphone in, Yana.
This mass destruction happens. Yeah. All the people are from different communities, different backgrounds, different countries, different origins. Why this kind of thing happens?
That's because we look at it that way, that they are from different communities and different parts of the world. But the universal understanding or the spiritual understanding is you are a jivatma, he is a jivatma, he is jivatma, all the mothers are jivatmas. They are part and parcel of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, right? Jivere swarupa hoy nitya Krishna das, right? All the jivas are nitya Krishna das. That's why Prabhupada is saying, get off that bodily platform. I am not Indian, I am not African, I am not American, I am not Bengali, I am not whatever, right? Why Prabhupada is repeating that again and again is because this concept, as long as this concept is going round and round in our mind, we will not be able to come out of bodily platform. You know? And that's why there's so many warfares also. Why there was a need to, you know, knock down the twin towers. It's bodily platform. I'm Muslim, I'm American, I'm Christian, I'm Hindu. There's all the time this fighting is going on. So there are times when these jivas, whatever the many lifetimes of karma, it brings them together. It brings them together, and then some towers will collapse, or a plane will disappear, you know, or Titanic will sink. It wasn't like they were all innocent people and they just drowned, or it wasn't like they were all innocent people and they got crushed. They must have done something, like Bhishma Pita, you know. Why he had to lie down on the bed of arrows? Because when he was in a previous lifetime, he was a king, he was doing the righteous thing, he was going, but he saw this big python. He had good intention. And Prabhupada said in one of the purports here that although we may have good intention and we may not want to perform sinful activities will happen because we have come into the material world. And therefore it's important that we know that knowingly or unknowingly we are killing many ants, you know, like that. So Bhishma Pita had intention that my army will crush this python or it may bite somebody and people will die. So with his sword he took and threw the python over. But it landed on a cactus plant. Cactus plant has so many thorns. So the snake died, you know, with all the thorns going through. So the reaction he had to face for that was, in his case, he was not thrown onto a cactus plant, but he received arrows from the bow of Arjuna, you know. So these things happen sometimes, and therefore it is not recommended that we continue endeavoring to come back again and again. Even Prabhupada was once told, a devotee, he said, Prabhupada, for you and for preaching I can come again and again and again just to preach. Prabhupada said, no, don't come back. I don't want you to come back. This is a hellish place. Nobody should want to come back here. So, take this very seriously. Don't plan to come back. Preach while you're here. Practice while you're here. And get out of here while you can, before the twin towers come on your head. Right? Does it partly answer your questions? You're an IIT guy, so I'm sure you need a thesis, but... Yes, Prabhu. Hare Krishna. Yes. So to overcome the attachment, you have to understand that in every being, there is Paramatma seated in every being's heart. So make that attachment directly towards the Paramatma. You know, and sometimes mind gets very easily disturbed. My wife so beautiful, my husband so handsome, my children are so pretty, you know. So instead of thinking like that, you pray to Paramatma that you have given me such a beautiful, you know, family. And you are seated in everyone's heart. So only you can help me to detach from them. Instead of saying, yeah, I am an advanced devotee, I can do anything, I am detached from you, get out of here, I don't need your children around me. It's not meant to be a process like that, you know. This is a process of Vaishnavas. You know? So Krishna came, 16,108, you know, consorts, and then 10 children from everyone. But he gave, you know, spiritual life to everyone. So, likewise, any great personality, like any of the kings, you hear like Parikshit Maharaj renounce everything just like that, you know. A materialistic king or a prime minister of any country, you would ask them, okay, now just step down, you got only 7 days. They would just laugh at you, they wouldn't understand, they wouldn't be able to accept it. But Parikshit Maharaj could understand. Immediately he took his crown off, took his clothes off, put on, you know, his simple garments, and he walked, you know, to Sukhdev Goswami, and he surrendered. He wasn't crying, I'm the king, and how can you do this, and slain all the brahmanas, this thing, that thing. No. Today's prime minister would do that. If one person did something wrong, they'll destroy the entire family. You know, that is ugra karmic. But devotional is this, that we follow Parikshit Maharaj, Bharat Maharaj, you know, so many examples are there, Prahlad Maharaj. You know. The detachment from your family can all be done if you see them as representatives of Krishna. You see that Krishna is seated within their heart as Paramatma. You pray to Paramatma every time that I am attached, admit it. Okay? Don't put it under the carpet that you are not attached to your father, mother, wife, husband, children. That attachment is natural, but remember Paramatma, and they pray to Paramatma that thank you for giving me such a wonderful family, but please remember I want to be surrendered to you and help me to come out of this attachment. And then you follow the process that's given us. So gradually when the time comes, it will be easier for you to walk away from the family and leave this planet. Yeah? Otherwise you will be dying and you will be looking at your children, and then you will be born again as a child or somebody's child. Wife's looking at her husband, she takes a birth as a man. Husband's looking at a wife and lamenting, now I'm going to miss you, right? And they're born again as women. So do you really want to come back as a woman? Do you really want to come back as a man again? After experiencing what you experience in this lifetime, do you still want to come back? The science is there so clearly spelled out. And as you practice it, you experience it. And as we experience it, you know, you become realized. Just like the chanting, as we increase our chanting, then the ruchi increases. Ruchi doesn't fall from the sky, there is no trees of ruchi. But as you practice and you follow, then ruchi will come. It will develop, and then your bhav and your prema will start, you know, coming out. Premanjana charita bhakti vilochanena santa sadaiva hridayesu vilokayanti yam shyam sundaram achintya guna swarupam govinda madhi purusham tamam bhajami. Santa sadaiva hridayesu vilokayanti means that devotees are always consistently thinking of Krishna. Everything that devotees see, they see it as part and parcel of Krishna. They understand that everything is emanating from Krishna, everything is coming from Krishna, I am coming from Krishna, and all the happiness that I would like to have eternally also comes from Krishna. Then we can detach. I hope it answers your question. Thank you. Hare Krishna. Granthras Srimad Bhagavatam ki. Srila Prabhupada ki.